phone. Don't need no speedy car to get me home. Don't need no nothing. All I need.
That's Casey Abrams singing the song Simple Life. Welcome to Simple Life Radio, stories for the adventurous at heart. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez. This show focuses on the experiences and perspectives of the folks on the Central Coast of California. My guest today has been a very big influence in my life, you might say. I'd also say that she has a very big perspective of the world and life around us. I first met her back in the year 2000, before I was a part of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore, and I went to see her to get some insight about what was happening, or at the time not happening, in my life. I was in the middle of changing jobs, ending a relationship, and relocating, and Elizabeth was very easy to talk to. She was a calming influence, and I could tell that she really knew her stuff. My guest, Elizabeth Batura, is a Vedic astrologer, among several other things. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, it's great having you in the studio. Now, I field a question in the store, because you are one of the on-site consultants in our bookstore, quite often about the difference between Vedic astrology and what people are sometimes more familiar with, known as Western astrology or tropical astrology. Can we start there and just have you help us understand?
Sure. Most people, when they think of astrology, they think of what their sign is. That's what someone will ask you, what's your sign?
That's true.
And what that means is where is the sun, or where was the sun when you were born? What constellation was it in front of? And so that is one of the big differences between Vedic astrology and tropical.
Hmm.
Also, tropical astrology or Western, there's another Western astrology called sidereal.
I have heard that word.
And sidereal astrology is much more aligned with Vedic astrology, because they both go by where the sun really actually is at any given time. Whereas, to answer your first question, tropical astrology goes by where the sun was in 285 AD.
Well, that was a long time ago. So they just keep replaying the same year over and over? And does that actually, does that change at all? Because I thought we were sort of flying through the universe.
Well, the precession of the equinoxes, or in other words, the wobble, the Earth has a wobble. Very, very slow wobble, which is taken into account by Vedic and sidereal astrology. And what that means is every 80 years, a planet or the sun will kind of backtrack 1 degree.
Hmm.
So it'll look like it's going backwards. So in the course of hundreds and then maybe almost 2,000 years, what you get is the difference between 23 degrees of what the planet, where the planet really is now, as opposed to where it was in 285 AD. So that's the basic difference.
Yeah, and so for people who thought they were a particular sign under tropical astrology, it could be different according to Vedic.
Three quarters of the times it is different.
Three quarters of the time.
Everything will be shifted 23 degrees out of 30, almost 24 degrees now. So,
wow.
Yeah, that can make a big difference. But the good news is all of the planets will shift. There are 9 of them. So all of them will shift 23 degrees, which means the dynamics between them stay the same. They just all shift into 23 degrees behind what we know them, or what we've heard of them, Western.
So all of you who are listening, if you thought you were such and such astrological zodiac sign, the fact that the Earth is moving, and as Elizabeth just explained, 23 degrees off out of 30, it might explain why some of the things in your life aren't happening the way you think that they should. But there is a way to find out. Before we go too much farther, Elizabeth, I wanted to ask how long you've been studying this science, because I know it's been quite a while.
I know it's been quite a while, too, and I really couldn't tell you. I was trying to remember when that was. It kind of gradually opened up in me the interest in it, and then gradually I started taking classes and gradually started working with other Jyotishis, Vedic astrologers. All I can say is around 35 years ago is when I started consulting.
That's a long time to be in and around and working with any particular discipline.
Yeah.
That's mastery.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you get older. You look back and say, I think it was around 15, no, 20, no, 25, no, 30.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Well, getting back to the difference between Vedic and tropical astrology, the other question I get a lot from folks is one of them correct and the other one incorrect? And I don't know how you respond to people who are trying to sort of make order out of this for themselves.
Well, it's just that most people know that the sun rises from the east, goes up through the sky. It looks like it from our perspective on the planet. That's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And sets in the west. And then hours later, the moon comes up and does the same thing. Starts on the eastern horizon, goes up and sets in the west. And all the other planets do too. So that's the way we look at astrology, and there's always a backdrop of stars behind all of these planets and the sun and the moon.
Mm-hmm. And all of that makes a difference, it sounds like.
Well, if it's actual or if it's from 285 AD.
Yes, would make a difference.
That's the difference, is if it's actually happening now or if that's when it happened then.
Mm-hmm. You know, a few weeks ago, I had the good fortune of having a conversation with you in the bookstore, which I love to do. And then in that conversation, you shared with me some information that I had you record, and I brought it in and aired it for the show. And that was during the government shutdown. And I wanted to know, like, what does Vedic astrology have to say about what's happening in our government, in our nation, with our president? And so one of the things I was hoping that you would be willing to share with us today is information about just that, our nation. Now, do you look it up based on the nation's birthday? And how do you determine, I mean, with a person, they have a birthday, time, and place. Does it work the same?
Yes. Not just a nation, but all cities, everything does. Even a business does.
Uh-huh.
The day it's started, the day you sign the papers, the time you sign the papers, and you make it a corporation. Same thing with a government. The day the Declaration of Independence, 4th of July, 1776.
Hmm.
What time? I have 6:30 in the evening, Philadelphia. So that's the birth time and date and place.
Okay.
And from that, we get the chart of our nation.
Huh.
And that's how you get the charts of any nation.
And so how do we look?
Or from Carmel or Monterey or any city also. That's how you look it up. So what was the question?
Well, how does our nation look? What's our chart like?
Change, 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 change. What's happening right now, the planet Jupiter, which is a solution planet, it's expansion, happiness, solutions, spirituality, that is transiting a lot of planets that are considered in a death house.
Mm.
So some things are dying. Parts of the economy, parts of religion, parts of how we identify. Those are the planets Venus, Jupiter, Sun.
So when you say those parts are dying, would that be the same as saying they're sort of redesigning themselves? Because people are people. They have their beliefs, they have their history, and their heart's desire for whatever, whether it's economics, religion, or whatever. Maybe we could talk about the dying part and actually what that means. Because I don't think what you're saying is religion is ending.
No, and I wasn't finished. So what I'm saying is different aspects of our economy or our nation are dying to be reborn in a higher paradigm. That's it in a nutshell. So Jupiter has to do with higher knowledge, higher anything. It's a rising of something. So something that isn't working in the economics is being winnowed out to be reformed into a higher level. And something in our identity as a nation is being changed and winnowed out. This is what evolution is. It's a constant shuffling, growing, and then removing things that don't work for us anymore, and then reestablishing ourselves on a more knowledgeable or higher level. And that's just what's happening now. But it happens to be happening, 4 out of the 9 planets are going through this. So there's a lot of reshuffling. What I was looking at for next year, Jupiter, which is what brings the solutions, is going to be exalted starting in June of 2014. And it's going to be transiting the 8th house, which is it's the biggest death and transformation house. And we have a planet there that causes a lot of chaos and confusion. But the fact that Jupiter is going to be exalted at that time and will be for a year from June to June 2014-15 means that there's going to be a lot of blindsiding events, things that come out of the blue. So just even knowing that, you can kind of mentally be prepared for it, knowing that, okay, something is being switched here, something's being switched out, something that doesn't work is being
changed
for the good. Always, this is for the good. This is evolutionary. It's very
and so is this quantity of change or magnitude of change, is it different than it's always been throughout evolution? Because I know one of the catchphrases is the only constant is change. So is this different?
Yes. It's different in the fact that it's similar to what was happening in 1776.
Oh, interesting.
So some things were being established then that after 100 years weren't working anymore, got taken out and reestablished in a new way. Mm-hmm. And we're at that point again where a lot of things are being looked at. What we eat, how we grow what we eat, who our president is, what the role of the president is, who our Congress is, what the role of our Congress is. All of these things, if you look at it, it's all happening, and you can see that it's happening. And astrology is just showing it's happening, but if you look at the news, you can also see that it's happening. So it's a way of seeing how it's going to work out. We're at a new level. People are getting more and more enlightened about things.
Well, I think awareness for certain. I mean, just listening to you kind of go through the inventory of what people are thinking about in terms of food and politics and the roles that each figurehead has, that seems to be overwhelming sometimes because there's so much awareness. We have the internet, which connects the whole globe. We can talk to anybody. We can get news feeds from just about anywhere. And the information is so abundant that I think it really speaks to it being, a new time and place in history.
Right. And that is something that really shows up in the United States chart also, that the United States is all about communication, invention of machines, invention of things to make any kind of movement, whether it's communication of words or communication of
images.
Right, entertainment, images. Mm-hmm. But anything to do with communication or movement of the body, movement of machines, rockets.
Interesting.
Yep.
You know, it's fascinating that you can see this in a chart. I find that really fascinating. We're in studio today with Elizabeth Batora. She's a Vedic astrologer. She is on site at Pilgrim's Way on Thursday afternoons and Saturday mornings. We're going to take a short break. This is Cynthia Fernandez, your host, and we're listening to Simple Life. Stay with us. What do you see for our nation's president currently?
President, okay. Oh, darn.
Well, we're...
I have him.
Oh, you have him. Okay.
Okay, well, he is going through a very trying period for another...
Another little while?
A little while. Well, actually, he's just today and tomorrow coming out of that.
And so how do we kind of think of that when he's going through a difficult period? Is that regarding communications or...
There are parts of our charts that have to do with... Well, each piece of the pie has to do with a piece of our life pie, our timing, our areas, our facets. And what he's going through is... something about his how people identify with him. There are some people that are having a hard time identifying, and he also having a hard time identifying with some issues that are causing a lot of anger. That's what he's been going through.
Yeah, I can relate to a lot of that on the news.
And what's coming out of that is from a very heavy and hard transit. It's going to go into one of the two best transits for the rest of the year. So his hands are kind of tied at the moment, and they have been for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But he's coming into an excellent position where he'll be strengthened, and he'll have support. The communication will be excellent, and the movement towards cohesion will grow slowly. But definitely on an upswing. We're in an upswing here.
We're in an upswing. And do you show anything? I know with the chart for the nation, you were explaining something that you saw from June 2014 to June 2015, where there's a lot of reshuffling and a fair amount of change that would end up, you know, actually bringing good about. Do you show anything in the same time frame for the president?
I see that for most everybody. Because what I'm talking about is Jupiter exalted, which happens every 12 years. At the same time, Saturn will be exalted, which happens every 28 to 30 years.
Oh, tell us about Saturn. What's the properties or the elements that come with Saturn?
Saturn has to do with reestablishing or establishing foundations, hard work, truth, duty, things that are hard, things that take a long time to develop, but they end up being very worthwhile.
Does it relate to family at all?
If it's in your family house, it's going to be with your family.
Interesting.
If it's in something with a stock market, it's going to do that. If it has to do with spouse, it's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There are different parts.
For each person.
And it depends on the individual, yes.
Right, right.
But the fact overall that Jupiter exalted at the same time Saturn is exalted, which happens so rarely, and it'll be 5 months of that.
5 months of both of them in an exalted place.
Yes, and especially August of next year. I saw August, September of next year. It's going to be really, really sweet time.
Now, I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. So there's a lot of shifting going on, a lot of change kind of up, and I think you called it reshuffling.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, things are in a very good place in terms of foundation and what would we attribute Jupiter to?
Happiness and expansion.
There you go. Yeah.
And knowledge.
Yeah. So we're going to be happy about the change.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Or that the changes bring happiness.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's a little bit different way to look at it, but basically, yes. They're all about growth and evolution. It's a very quick time for evolution right now. Nature is organic. Things happen cyclically. We breathe in and out. We can't always be breathing out. We can't always be moving. We have to take a rest sometimes. So right now, we're in one of those very active cycles.
Mm-hmm. I like the way you put that. You see, everybody, this is what I am talking about. She's very calming, lots of insight. She knows her stuff. I'm speaking with Elizabeth Batora here on Simple Life Radio. and we are talking about the Vedic astrology perspective of our nation and our nation's president. Is there anything else that's really a highlight you'd like to share with our listeners? No.
I'm better at answering questions.
Oh, better at answering questions. Okay. Well, what I wanted to ask you was, how do you recommend people use astrology or other modalities like that in their practical lives? I mean, does this prove to be something that people use as a crutch or a dependence to make a decision, or does it increase fear or clarity for people? What do you think?
Well, I think it increases clarity, and that's what I use it for. There are people who are going through changes, just like we've been talking about. There are individuals who are going through times where things are falling out, and they don't know what their options are for the future, or they may know two or three options for the future and don't know which is going to be the most supportive.
Right.
So there can be some clarity mixed with some fog, and when I consult with people like this, we find which way nature is going to be supportive of the most, and it seems to be helpful that way. Also, with Vedic astrology, you can know the best times to start a project. There are times, like I said, where nature is supporting, and there are times where nature can be not so supportive, or there can be some conflicts. And if you want to start a new business, or you want to start building a new home, or you want to make a move, you can find out when the best time to sell your house, if you want to, or the best time to get a house that you're really going to love. All kinds of things you can look at to find out where nature will be supporting the most. And what I mean by nature is the planetary influences.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That's really important, because those are practical aspects of everyone's life sometime or another. And it makes a difference to get some insight from an objective source about what your choices are.
Right. Yeah. I was talking with someone the other day who wanted to sell their house in South Carolina, and it was a married couple. I had both of their charts in front of me, and the wife wanted to sell now because they got an offer, even though it was much lower than what they wanted, but she's afraid, and he wanted to hold out for something better. And when I looked at both of their charts, his chart showed that if they waited at a certain time, there would be such a huge benefit to them selling at that future date, and that he should definitely be the one and she should not be the one. And so they were, what would support them the best was if he sold the house and waited at that time.
And that's how they worked it out.
And that's how you can, yes, I have done that before, and I was with someone a few years ago who did that, and they came back to the store and they said, we were so glad, because she wanted to sell it for nothing, and they got more than even they thought they would, because there ended up being a bid, and someone to outbid someone else.
Right.
So you can know those things. You can see those things.
So for all those of you who are listening, if you're contemplating a big decision, a life change, regardless of what that decision is, it could be moving to another location, selling a home, compatibilities with job situations, etc. Elizabeth has this computer. I know you can't see it because we're on radio, but it has a complete program. It is very clear, and that's why in our broadcast today, there's a little bit of space and time because she's looking things up on the computer. And it's just very clear, and there's a lot of objectivity there. So keep that in mind. Elizabeth Batora at Pilgrim's Way Consulting on site there. You can go to our website, pilgrimsway.com, and find out what her schedule is. And there is a bio there for her as well. You know, Elizabeth, do you consider yourself giving people the answer or influencing them in any way towards certain decisions?
I would never give anyone the answer. I would never, ever, ever do that. I'm very strong about this being a free will planet. I'm very clear about that. Everybody came here to use their free will choices. But like I said, when someone is in a fog about something, I can show them tendencies, their chart. Their chart is a blueprint of their life. And from the chart, we can see where there are supports and non-supports. And sometimes, well, I'll give you an example. Sometimes we can feel like we know something's coming, we know it's going to happen, and we work really hard to make that happen, and it doesn't happen, and so we work harder. And when you look at your chart, and this is something when I first started learning about it, I'd look at my chart and say, oh, there it is. Oh, it is going to happen. Oh, not for 7 years. But this, it, wherever nature is always supporting somewhere, but right. We may not be that clear about it. Uh-huh. And we're trying to make something happen, which, yes, will be supported also, but not for a while. But there's always something at the moment that's being supported to do. So it just shows where the tendencies are, and not to spin your wheels when you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. So it gives you a broader perspective, and that's really what I was referring to when I said you have an incredibly big perspective, because included in Vedic astrology is this incredible history. I mean, it's been around a long, long time. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of Vedic astrology?
Well, it's longer than any printed history. Kabbalistic astrology and Vedic astrology are the longest ones, and nobody really knows how long they are, but long enough to have been recorded as the last age of human beings. Now, this is maybe going to sound off the wall, but history is also one of the things that is changing right now. And it looks like history, our written history, goes a lot further than 5,000 years ago. And there have been ages where there were people on the planet who were very enlightened, and then there have been ages where that enlightenment disappeared. We're coming out of one of those times where enlightenment has disappeared. It was called Kali Yuga. This has to do with huge amounts of time, 400,000 year bits of time.
Whoa.
But it's very, very ancient. And it was written down as the last enlightened age, the last seers who could see and know these planetary influences in their bodies. They could sense things. They could see things that we don't see now. They were writing them down for posterity because they knew we were going to lose this and go into a dark age.
Mm.
So now we're having a revival of this.
Mm-hmm. And so in the space of 400,000 years, you said,
mm-hmm.
How do we define now? I mean, is that is that like the last 150 years, 200 years?
Now. Uh-huh. Now, 2013.
13, mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Good.
So we're in a time where life and humans and the senses and knowledge is moving up into a more enlightened stance, and it's just beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's also going to take thousands of years, but we're at the beginning of it.
So we're at the beginning of the uptick,
yep.
And we have a ways to go, but the good news is we're upticking.
We're upticking, yes, we're not downticking.
Well,
we've done that.
That is good news.
And it's good to know, because there are people who, especially older people, who will say, but history shows we've always had wars.
Mm, that's true.
And yes, history does show we've always have wars if you're only going back 5,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go further back, you see that there were times, certainly thousands and thousands of years, when there were not wars.
Ah.
And we're going back to that.
Oh, that sounds so good. It just reminds me of folks around the world who have been toasting their drinks or saying their prayers for world peace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's been going on a long time.
Well, they're creating it every time they're making that toast.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That is so wonderful. Well, you know, we are going to just let you know that archive of the show today is going to be available to listen to or download a few different ways. The archives are posted on the pilgrimsway.com website under the tab Simple Life Radio. It's also on YouTube and podbean.com using Simple Life Radio, one word. And they're listed on our Simple Life Facebook page. If you haven't seen our Facebook page, give us a listen, give us a like, and share with other folks. And when we get back, we're going to talk more with Elizabeth Batora, Vedic astrologer. Stay with us. And I wonder if you see anything in the chart that relates to energy, basically anything that relates to taking care of the earth, environmental issues.
Environmental issues, yes. That's going to be covered, especially next year when I was saying Jupiter going into Cancer for a year, being exalted there. Cancer is about the earth. And what's interesting about the United States, we are such a creative country. We are such an inventive country. And a scholarly, we have very, very brilliant minds tackling these issues. And I am so impressed when I see things, like I'm on Netflix, I like to watch documentaries, and there are these documentaries on what people are inventing to ways to build a building, for instance, that will go up instead of out.
I love that.
That will be 10, 20 stories high, that is hydroponic gardening that can feed 100,000 people, and it's only 1 acre of land.
Wow.
People who think of things like that, this is what the United States is all about, and this is what it's doing. It's doing it now. It's just going to continue to be doing it.
That sounds encouraging. So you had talked earlier about food sources. Is that something else that's going to be shifting? Because I know there's a lot of awareness. We just had the film festival in Monterey down at the Golden State Theater a couple weeks ago, the first weekend in November, and it was focused on environmental issue. You know, they were all documentaries, and one of the documentaries that Paul and I saw was called Genetic Roulette, and it was all about food sources, and the impact of genetically modified food.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything about food in our chart?
Well, that's again, that has to do with Jupiter going into Cancer next year. Cancer is the fourth constellation. It has to do with the earth. It has to do with things under the earth, like fracking, like oil. It has to do with things on the earth, like growing food. It has to do with things being taken out of the earth also, like gems and gold. So all of these things, anything to do with the earth, and also food, catering, nurturing, anything to do with all of those things, is going to be having a big boost next year. Huge boost. And cutting edge kind of boosting.
So a lot of innovation.
A lot of innovation, and very, very highly motivated, highly encouraging, motivated by all these scholars we have here and all these inventors we have here. Mm. Yes, there's a lot of energy going towards that. We don't hear a whole lot about it when we go to film festivals, we do. But generally on the news, what we hear is the bad news. But there is so much happening by people who are inventing things.
I totally agree. And often inventors are young people, which is a particular favorite of mine. You know, I think the youth today sometimes gets a bad rap, or maybe gets overlooked, but there's a lot of bright minds coming in the world and really thinking and behaving differently. And I suppose that could be one of the aspects of change that you refer to. But I look at it in terms of, you know, they're coming in, and maybe it's a good thing that doesn't work out to have them sort of fall in line and follow the way that it's always been done. Maybe it's a good thing that they come in with a different set of goals and different agenda, and they might actually have a good idea, and oftentimes do. I don't know if you've run across stories like that.
Well, we're in that one right now where Jupiter is in Gemini right now, and Gemini is the youth.
Ah.
And so Jupiter is expanding the consciousness of the youth, or expanding the numbers of youth who have consciousness to be activating these growthful changes. So it's exactly what's going on right now.
That's awesome.
And it will only grow.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's a lot of change that we talked about being good news, things that are kind of getting shook up. We've had some experiences of that over the last several years, certainly this year with the example of the government shutdown and really looking at what kinds of impacts that would have. I know people are looking at different career choices. School is looked at differently. We're really not in the same time and space that our grandparents were, where it was customary that someone would buy a plot of land, live their whole life there, and perhaps even it would pass down from generation to generation. And people are just more transient, and things seem to be changing so much more rapidly, sometimes to the level where it can impact someone's health. It can impact their mood or their perspective on life. And I'd love to get your perspective on what should people focus on during the experiences of really high levels of change.
I think they're already doing it. What I see, it's already happening. People are looking for health benefits that will help them. And there are a lot of modalities that have not worked in the past and have been told they would work, and then they, over 10, 20, 30 years, they don't work. And those things are going by the wayside.
Do you have an example of what one of those things might be?
All you have to do is watch TV and listen to the commercials for whatever pharmaceutical company is putting out. I don't know what these different drugs are.
Pharmaceutical drugs?
Yes. But they tell you how wonderful it's going to work for you, and then it lists 20 things, 20 symptoms that are insane that you would listen to. Will it, it could do that. It could kill me. It could give me a stroke. It could paralyze me. It could knock out my left eye.
You got a point.
Well, yeah. What's that about? Are you listening to this?
That's a really good point. Yeah, I always wonder. I mean, thankfully, it's a law that they have to tell you what the side effects are. You know, the informed consent still operates somewhere in there. But I always wonder, like, why would you still do it? I suppose just being desperate. But what you're saying
well,
is...
I think it's because a lot of times people don't know that there are other solutions. There are healthful solutions. There are alternative solutions, and I don't like the word alternative, but there are healthy solutions to everything. Everything. There are homeopathic solutions. There are macrobiotic solutions. There are all kinds of solutions that most people don't hear about. It's still not in the mainstream, but that is what's one of the things that's going to be changing. It is changing. More and more people are hearing about these things. More and more people are going towards these things. I don't think that we get a disease in order to die from it or get debilitated by it. I've always thought, ever since I was born, we get a disease or an ailment or a stress in order to overcome it. It's a source of growth, and it's a source towards our enlightenment.
Yeah, that's how homeopathics works.
That's how and yes.
Yeah, you get a little bit of the whatever is, let's say...
the poison.
Yeah, the poison, and then your body is not overwhelmed by it, and it can work with its natural defenses to combat it and stay in a healthy balance.
Right, and there are so many, by this time, there are so many modalities that have been out there for 30, 40, 60, 80 years that have shown to prove that they They cure cancer. They cure all kinds of diseases. And all you have to do is change your diet or never get into these wrong food patterns that we get into. But you can change a lot just by diet or homeopathy or naturopathy or acupuncture or Reiki or any number of things. There are so many modalities. When I get a phone call these days from the Cancer Society, I let them know, did you know that cancer's already been cured?
How do they respond to that?
They say, no, I didn't know that. And I said, well, I can list three things right now, the Gerson diet and Reiki. And chiropractic can solve cancer.
Wow.
I know people who have done it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that sounds pretty alternative to me. I mean, it's there's another option.
There are many options. There are many. There's so many options.
Western medicine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's my experience anyway that more and more Western medically trained doctors are expanding of their own volition. They're expanding their training to include other kinds of healing modalities. It could be chiropractic. It could be nutrition, which, by the way, I know we all kind of assume that Western medical doctors are trained in nutrition. Well, they aren't. It's like out of the 4 years, they get 2 hours. And so that could fit into what you're describing, Elizabeth, as a expanded consciousness or moving in that uptick where things are getting better. People are making choices on their own for looking at labels and choosing their food and, you know, making decisions of their own about the world that's going on around them and how it influences them.
Right. And these planetary influences are helping us to do that because what they're showing us is how to align ourselves with health, how to align ourselves with health in an economic factor also, how to align ourselves healthily in all of these different arenas in our life. It's just aligning with health, whether it be socially or physically or emotionally. There's a healthy way to do it.
Well, I really like your perspective, and I'm so glad that you're here and willing to share it with our listeners. It sounds like there is a lot of information to choose from and work with. We can make choices. Thankfully, we do have options. And if we can just be sort of connected to the awareness of that perspective rather than not wanting things to change or feeling like they shouldn't change or we're afraid they're going to change, I think we're going to all be in a much better position. And someone once reminded me of something long ago, and that was, if there is no change, there is no life.
Right.
Where there's life, there's change. And so I thought, okay, change is good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hang on to that. So focusing on change is good, and let's surf the change rather than be afraid of it and really panic.
Because it's definitely here, and it's not going away anytime soon.
And good things are coming of
it. So align with it and embrace it, yes, because it's all for good.
It's all for good. Wow, I like that. It's all for good. And if you, any of you listeners, want to have a communication or a session with Elizabeth, she is at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore a couple times a week. She is there on Thursday and also on Saturday. And if you want to give her a call directly, her phone number, 831-647-1998, will reach her. At the store, our number is 624-4955, and if we're not there, we do get messages, so take advantage of that. But before we go, Elizabeth, I wanted to ask you, since we are co-sponsored here by Pilgrim's Way, what is your all-time favorite book, or maybe the first one that comes to mind?
First one that comes to mind, it would be Rumi. I like Rumi, anything Rudolf Steiner.
Anything. He's written a lot.
Yeah, well, get your nose in one of them.
Oh, wow. And what are you reading now?
What am I reading now?
Probably six different books.
Right.
none in particular come to mind? Well, you know, it's always great hearing what people are reading, because as a bookstore, we are a small bookstore. It's been there for 45 years, though, so a lot of our best recommendations come from readers and direct from customers coming in saying, wow, this is a great book. If anybody asks, tell them to get this one. So come on by. We're downtown Carmel on Dolores between 5th and 6th. We'd love to see you. And we will be looking forward to a visit by Dan Millman and his daughter, Sierra Prasada. They are going to be here on this coming Friday, a week from yesterday, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They will be there just briefly. They're on a California tour with their latest book, Creative Compass, The Creative Compass. And it's all about writing and any other creative endeavor. And we're looking forward to having them in the store. So keep that in mind. Want to thank you, Elizabeth, for coming down to the station. It's been wonderful having you. And I know that this has piqued a lot of curiosity.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So we're going to sign off here pretty shortly. I want to let you know just in advance that you can call us anytime. I know Michelle Jackson, one of the hosts here at the show, likes to tell people we have curb service, and that is true. If you have a book request or have something that you want from the store, just give us a call. We'll make the arrangements, and we can run it out to you in a flash. All right. Well, we'll be back with you next week. Until then, be well and focus on the good stuff. It's all going to be good.